Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The state will release new data about COVID, flu, and RSV cases in just a few hours. Coming up, how hospitals across the triangle are responding to a spike in numbers.
And it's a frosty start out there this morning. Our temperatures are in the 20s. Tonight we'll see some rain and we'll have another round on Saturday. We'll go over the timeline for the weekend.
Also, we'll show you how a fallen Greensboro police officer will be honored today statewide. We're heading into another breakfast hour, and we're glad you're with us here on Fox 50. I'm Ken Smith.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. It is great to have you along here, top of 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. A lot of sunshine out there, but another cold start for sure. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with that.
Yeah, we take a live look at downtown Raleigh. Lots of blue sky here. I'm looking pretty, but still feeling chilly. 29 degrees is our current temperature around the Triangle area. Fortunately, there hasn't been too much wind. Just a little bit of a wind chill down in Fayetteville. It's felt like mid-20s. It is mid-20s in Southern Pines. 28 in Clinton, 29 in Durham, 28 Rocky Mount, 23 in Roxboro. So chilly out there. But with sunshine this morning, temperatures will warm up pretty quickly. We climb into the mid-50s for highs. Then we cloud up, and we're going to end up with some rain overnight tonight, especially becoming a little heavier around midnight into the early morning hours in our southeastern counties. This one's going to sort of slide up the coast and bring us a better chance of rain in our southern counties. We can see a few light showers around the triangle closer to midnight, and then it becomes a little heavier south and east. Still, we're talking about most likely a quarter of an inch or less, and it's out of here by the morning commute. We'll end up clearing quickly on Thursday morning, and Thursday will be nice and bright. We're watching a system on Saturday, which could bring some light freezing rain as it begins in our northwestern counties. We'll pause it there at around 7 a.m. to north of I-85 just briefly, just enough for a light glaze, no power outages, no travel problems. But we will be dealing with a cool, rainy day all day on Saturday and another one on Tuesday. So I'll show you what the rainfall totals look like for the week coming up, Brian.
8:02 right now, very busy morning out there. We're going to start off with some of the delays that we are following in Durham with an all-new crash on 147 northbound just before you get to Alston Avenue. Heavy delays begin right there at the 885 split as you head into downtown Durham. We're looking at a 5-minute delay right now overall. If you can pick up 147 northbound from Alston Avenue, you'll be on the other side of that crash and looking good heading into downtown Durham. Another problem in Durham up on 85 northbound, a crash right around Red Mill Road. It's in the clearing stages, but we still have some activity on both sides of 85, and we're seeing some delays there as you head through that Red Mill Road interchange on 85 northbound and southbound. The best alternate route for the northbound traffic, at least, is going to be using Gear Street. If you can take that up to Red Mill Road, you can pick up northbound 85 and head on into Butner and avoid a lot of those delays. The southbound delays that we're seeing coming in from Falls Lake, that's kind of a new trend in the past couple of minutes. Looks like we have some activity there, possibly blocking the left lane of 85 southbound. Let's head over to Wake Forest with the crash reported at the 98 bypass or Dr. Calvin Jones Highway out at Capitol Boulevard. Not seeing big delays with that one. That reportedly is a crash with injuries. So it may be a little while yet before it's cleared. Also new in the past few minutes, between Fuquay Varina and Holly Springs, a crash on 55 westbound near Wilburn Road, and we are seeing some delays building through there. Updating you on that crash on the north side of Raleigh, 540 westbound at Six Forks Road. We still have all that activity in the median. No travel lanes blocked, but of course people are slowing down with those flashing lights as they should. We're looking at a 14-minute delay overall from Lewisburg Road out to the I-40 interchange. Also, we're watching some delays coming in from Knightdale on 87 southbound, looking a little better as they clear a vehicle fire from the New Hope Road area, about a 2-minute delay overall. Also coming in from Wake Forest this morning, looking at congestion on southbound Capitol Boulevard, about a 7-minute delay heading to 540. If you're getting ready to head out right now, listen to us on the radio at 99.3 FM in Raleigh, 96.5 FM in Durham.
You're right. Active morning, Brian. Thank you. Hospitals in our area have been seeing more people come in with flu, RSV, and COVID. And today, new state data will show where those cases stand.
Yeah, WRAL's Kelsey Coffey joining us live with what Duke hospitals and other hospitals around the triangle are doing to keep visitors and patients and staff safe as we head into this respiratory illness season.
Ken, as hospitalizations just keep going up, hospital officials are taking action. So starting today, new visitor restrictions will be in place at all Duke hospitals across the triangle. The state will release new COVID, flu, and RSV data in just a few hours. Duke Health saw a 112% increase in flu cases across its hospitals, and that's just in the past 2 weeks. COVID cases also rose by 8% with 41 patients. In the past week, UNC Hospital saw a 73% increase in COVID cases. RSV cases also went up by 50%. Students, of course, are headed back to school this week. Here's Duke Health Infectious Disease Specialist Dr. Cameron Wolf's advice for parents.
Kids are not very good necessarily at telling us, especially elementary school or primary school age kids, about their symptoms. So be prepared to be observant about how your son and daughter is symptomatically feeling.
And Dr. Wolf says if you notice that your child is displaying any of those cold or flu-like symptoms, it's best just to keep them at home instead of sending them to school, just in an effort to slow the spread of all of these illnesses. Kelsey Coffey, WRAL News, live in Raleigh.
Well, happening today, Duke Hospitals are changing its visitor policies. Visitors must be 12 years or older. Patients are limited to 2 visitors. Overnight visitors must be at least 18 years old. Visitors are urged to mask up and stay home if they're experiencing any respiratory symptoms. This is all part of a plan to help protect patients against respiratory illnesses.
Today, an officer who was shot and killed while trying to stop a robbery will be escorted from Raleigh to Greensboro. WRAL's Brett Neese explains the memorial ride happening for Sergeant Philip Nix today.
You can see all these police lights here behind me. This is just a portion of this memorial ride that will take place this afternoon, starting here at the medical examiner's office, and it will go along I-40 back to Greensboro. This is Sergeant Philip Nix, the officer that was off duty trying to stop 3 people from stealing beer last Saturday at a Greensboro gas station. Sadly, he was shot and killed. Those 3 people were later arrested and charged. They face a judge for the first time yesterday. They're due back in court in April. Agencies from across the state and our region will take part in this memorial procession from Raleigh to Greensboro. Some of the organization for it has already started, but we're told that it will take place around 1 this afternoon. In Raleigh, Brittany, WRAL News.
A Carey family is preparing for the funeral of this little 6-year-old girl, Jocelyn Hernandez. She was hit by a car and died from her injuries. Jocelyn was playing outside her Carey home Friday when police say she was hit by Andrew Everett, who was speeding and driving recklessly. A police report indicates Everett showed a lack of remorse and used derogatory language toward the little girl at the scene of the crash. WRAL spoke with Hernandez's father, Severil Perez, through a translator. He shared his daughter meant so much to everyone she came in contact with.
La persona que conoce a la niña.
Oh, he just wants to know that Jocelyn was a caring, lovely, beautiful girl. The people who have met Jocelyn, they're just very hurt of the news.
Well, the family is currently accepting donations to help with burial costs through a GoFundMe account.
A Raleigh man charged with murdering his 5-year-old son is in jail this morning. According to an arrest warrant, the boy was abused so badly his brain was hemorrhaging. His father is Amir Hines. He was initially charged with felony child abuse, but those charges were upgraded to murder when his son died. WRAL spoke with the boy's grandmother about what happened, and you can find her story on WRAL.com.
Well, the Biden administration will reopen several ports of entry at the southern border tomorrow. The 4 ports in Texas, California, and Arizona previously were closed because of a record influx of migrants. December was a record-setting month. Border Patrol agents encountered more than 300,000 migrants at the southern border.
And Ken, today, House Speaker Mike Johnson will tour those migrant processing facilities at the border. He'll lead a group of House Republicans in Eagle Pass, Texas. The Speaker's office says this trip is intended to, quote, highlight the ongoing failures of the Biden administration's border policies. It comes after Johnson called on the president to take immediate action at the border.
Happening right now, an economic forecast event in downtown Raleigh happening now. This is put on by the Raleigh Chambers, and it's launching its 2024 Economic Outlook. It's taking place at the Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts. President of the Federal Reserve Bank of Richmond, Tom Barkin, and Sarah House, who is a senior economist for Wells Fargo, will look ahead to what this year will bring for the economy. Again, this is a live look inside that event that's happening right now. WRAL is a proud sponsor of this event, and we will live stream the entire event on our website, WRAL.com.
10 after 8 right now, your child's coat could be putting them in danger when they click into that car seat. Coming up, 5 on Your Side shows us how to fix that problem.
Also, an exercise physiologist explains how exercise snacks could help you reach your fitness goals this year.
We have sunny skies as you're walking out the door to temperatures in the 20s. But tonight, we have showers in the forecast. It'll be too warm for anything frozen. But we'll talk about how much rain we could see and who's most likely to see it coming up.
Now, a pleasant good morning to all our loyal viewers over there in the Bull City. You're waking up to a rather sunny and albeit cold morning. Thank you for watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. You know, it's sunny out there for the most part, Elizabeth, but don't be fooled by that sunshine.
Yes, it's cold out there. Our temperatures are in the upper 20s still in a lot of places. We're looking at sunny skies here in downtown Raleigh. 29, though, is the temperature. We'll have a quick warm-up with the sunshine, though. We'll climb on up into the mid-50s by around 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We do still have a little bit of a wind chill in a few spots. Fayetteville's now warmed up to 30 degrees. They're back to 27. It does still feel like 22 in Southern Pines. It feels like 24 in Rocky Mount, where the temperature is 28. So it's a chilly one. Temperatures are running in some places, say 3 to 8 degrees colder than this time yesterday. And around town, looking at 54 in Raleigh, 53 in Durham, and 55 in Fayetteville. So not a bad afternoon, a little bit above normal for this time of year. We're looking at some rain overnight tonight. It's nice and bright right now, but skies will cloud up this afternoon. We'll see some light showers by 9 or 10 o'clock in our southern counties, all the way up to, say, around Durham or so. After midnight, we begin to see it picking up in intensity a little bit from Rocky Mount to Goldsboro to Clinton to Fayetteville, but it's out of here by the morning commute. You can see at 5 o'clock, that's really the last bit of it moving on out. We'll start to see the sunshine breaking out right about sunrise, so not a bad day on Thursday with lots of sunshine. 32 is our normal low, but tomorrow morning, we'll see temperatures in the mid to upper 30s, so it'll be too warm for anything frozen. But the kicker will be on Saturday. Saturday, we could see lows dropping down into the upper 20s, and the rain rolls in early in the morning, and there could be some spots, especially north and west of the triangle, where this begins as a little bit of light freezing rain. Now, tomorrow, we're looking at increasing sunshine and 51. Friday, increasing cloud cover at 49, and then we'll see that rain very early Saturday morning, say around 4 or 5 a.m. So again, initially in our northern counties, some very light freezing rain that'll have no impact. 50 degrees on Saturday. It is going to be an all-day rain, probably around an inch or so. You can see, again, that light freezing rain, looking at no impact with that. But Saturday, again, will be pretty much an all-day rain. Saturday will be, not too bad to get outside, 53 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Tuesday is the warmest day of the week. We'll see a high of 60, but it also looks like it's going to be a wet day. And coming up, we'll talk about some of our rainfall totals for the week. Brian?
8:15 right now, Elizabeth. Let's take a look at this busy map here, get you updated on the biggest delays that we're following on the roads. All new in the past couple of minutes, a report of a crash on 40 westbound right around Highway 86 there on the north side of Chapel Hill. Apparently the left lane is blocked, and the delays begin almost all the way back at the Irwin Road Bridge as you head westbound on I-40 away from Durham back toward Chapel Hill. Need to allow that extra time this morning. You might consider using 15501 as a good alternate route to get into Chapel Hill itself, and then from there you can pick up 86 out of the central part of Chapel Hill and continue on your way on 40 westbound. Taking a look at downtown Durham, we still have that crash reported on 147 northbound just before you get to Alston Avenue. A little bit of good news, though. Looks like those delays are easing just a bit with a two-minute backup overall as you head from 885 back into downtown Durham. Still have that crash up there on 85 at Red Mill Road with some delays mostly on the southbound side right now. This may be a second crash there. Looks like that northbound side is cleared. Now seeing some heavy delays on the southbound side beginning all the way back to the other side of Falls Lake. So coming in from Butner this morning, allow some extra time on I-85 heading toward Durham. On the north side of Raleigh, a crash on Honeycutt Road at Durant Road. Seeing some delays at that intersection this morning. Also still have that crash getting cleared from Wake Forest on Highway 98 bypass at Capitol Boulevard. 540 westbound at Six Forks Road. Still have the crash in the median with some heavy delays coming in from Lewisburg Road. And between Fuquay and Holly Springs, still have an active scene with a crash at 55 westbound near Wilburn Road. Look out for some backups there heading away from the Verena area out toward Old Powell Road.
Brian, thanks. Those big puffy coats to keep your kids warm during these cold weeks. they can be dangerous for kids in car seats. There is an easy way to check, though, if your child's coat is too bulky. First, you want to secure them in the car seat while wearing the coat so there's no slack in the harness straps. Pull them tight. And then remove the coat and put them back in the seat. And if the straps are too loose, that's where the problem comes in. The solution is to take the coat off. With the puffy jacket on, the harness may not be secure enough to keep kids safe in a crash.
In a crash, if he was still wearing his coat would compress, all that puffiness would compress, leaving this extra room, which gives him additional room to move and potentially move outside the safety of his car seat, which would increase his risk of injury.
So then you can also try this. Put your child, secure them in the back seat, in that seat, and then put a blanket or coat on top of the harness, keep them warm. For older kids, you can put their coat sleeves on backwards after they're already harnessed in.
That's some good advice there. If you're thinking about getting rid of your Christmas tree in Cumberland County, here's what you need to know. Parks and Rec will collect Christmas trees from Fayetteville residents from January 8th through the 12th. That's all next week. You'll need to have that tree by the curb by this Sunday. All lights, ornaments, and stands have to be removed. Keep that in mind. If you live outside the city, you can drop off trees at the Fayetteville Community Garden to be recycled. If you live in the city of Raleigh, you can leave your tree curbside at your yard waste collection day, and crews will pick it up. They'll turn it into mulch for landscaping. The service runs through February 12th to give you ample time to toss your Christmas tree.
Our teacher of the week, parents, both were teachers, but she never thought that she would do it. WRL's Brian Schrader goes to a unique school in Cumberland County to meet a teacher who loves leaving it all on the stage.
C sharp.
Hold it up.
After earning 2 degrees in music performance, Alex Williams took a sales job right out of college, but she felt a pull to the classroom.
Long right down. Good, Diana. I took an interview and took that job, and now this is my 7th year teaching. And I actually had a conversation with someone here at the end of the year last year. I'm like, I can't imagine where I would be if I hadn't started this 7 years ago. Up and down on A.
Williams teaches pre-K through 3rd grade violin and 4th and 5th grade orchestra here at Eastover Central Elementary School of the Arts. It's a unique school that combines academics with a rich arts education.
We have a music teacher, a theater teacher, strings, art. We have all of those people in the building. We get to collaborate and work together to make really cool experiences for our students.
All the way back up. There you go. Good.
William says arts education helps unlock so many possibilities in these students' lives.
They might not be a strong reader. They may never make all A's. They may never do that. But they can be successful in an arts classroom.
Clap our hands for Ms. Williams, huh?
In Eastover, I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
How about it? Yeah, if you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
Well, can exercise snacks help you reach your fitness goals this year? Well, you may think that means trying a new smoothie or protein bar. The term actually refers to doing short bursts of intense activity throughout the day. Exercise physiologist Katie Lawton says an exercise snack is typically a high-intensity activity that lasts around 1 to 2 minutes. These can be anything from climbing stairs, jumping jacks, and don't require a gym membership or other equipment. While more research is needed to see the overall health benefits of exercise snacking, it can be a good reminder to get up and move throughout the day. Lawton says it's best to plan out times to be active, whether that's through exercising, snacking, or traditional workouts.
I like the original thought of the snacking thing with that.
Exactly.
Throughout 2023, artificial intelligence has proved it can write essays, generate images, even help us communicate with robots. And the excitement isn't expected to end there. Kevin Uretsky takes a closer look at where AI and humanoid robot developments could be headed in 2024.
Developments in artificial intelligence and robot software took 2023 by storm. And throughout the new year, technology experts say these innovations are only expected to improve, especially when it comes to the accuracy of the responses AI programs generate. Brendan Englott of the Stevens Institute of Technology believes there will also be a greater push to advance the language skills of robots using AI.
I think in 2024, we're really going to see that evolving, and we're going to see increasing robotics capabilities that involve human language and conversational instructions provided by human operators.
As well as refine a robot's coordination and ability to perform more complex tasks.
Does AI allow robots to walk or manipulate or move with more dexterity or agility? That is kind of a frontier we have not fully conquered yet. I would say that lies ahead for 2024.
Engineering company Aptronik is currently working on its Apollo robot. The humanoid is designed to move boxes and stack supplies for large retailers and manufacturers. Given a recent report from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which finds there are millions of open jobs and not enough unemployed people to fill them, officials say it's critical robot technology forges on this year to help fill worker gaps in warehouses and factories.
Especially with the infrastructure bills that the U.S. is pushing forwards over the next couple of years, the demand for blue-collar labor is going to do nothing but increase over time.
We are in a different time, right? That was Kevin Uretsky reporting.
Well, Mountain Dew is making one of its most popular drinks available to everyone. The company says Baja Blast is coming to stores nationwide for the whole year. They celebrate the 20th anniversary of the iconic flavor, and that's what it's all about. Every purchase of the drink also comes with a code for fans to scan for a chance to win Baja Blast gear, electronics, and accessories.
Proposed Baja Versity, huh? Yeah. Versary. Coming up, a proposed Bucky's store in Mebane has some people living in the area concerned. Steps they're trying to take today to stop it.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning at 8:26. I'm Ken Smith. It's been a challenging morning for some morning commuters. Let's get over to Brian Schrader with this traffic alert.
This has been a very busy morning on the roads. Right now we're tracking a crash in Chapel Hill on 40 westbound, right around the NC-86 interchange. So we take a look at it there. You can see those delays coming in from Irwin Road. You might consider taking 15501 down toward Weaver Dairy Road and then picking up 40 westbound on the other side of that delay there from NC-86. Some of the other delays that we're following, looking a little better on the north side of Raleigh at 540 westbound because of an earlier crash at Six Forks Road. We've been watching those building delays down to about a 9-minute backup now. A crash on 85 southbound at Red Mill Road in Durham, seeing about a 9-minute backup coming in from Butner. And on 440 westbound, some congestion as usual from 87 around to Wade Avenue. You're looking at about a 14-minute delay, Elizabeth.
It's a pretty start out there this morning. We take a live look at Sanford. Lots of sunshine. Our temperatures have been cold this morning, though, mostly in the mid to upper 20s. Right now, it's 28 in Lewisburg, 26 in Irwin, 28 in Rocky Mount, 26 degrees in Tarboro. But temperatures will warm up nicely. It's been a little chilly for exercise, but by the middle of the afternoon, we'll hit mid 50s. We do have rain in the forecast this evening and overnight tonight, especially in our southeast counties. But it's out of here by tomorrow morning's commute.
Today, an officer who was shot and killed while trying to stop a robbery will be escorted from Raleigh to Greensboro. Law enforcement and first responders from all over our state will gather to bring Sergeant Philip Nix home starting this afternoon at 1 o'clock. The three suspects in this case are due back in court in April. Hospitals in our area have been seeing more people coming into the emergency room with flu symptoms, RSV, and COVID. Today, new state data will show where those cases stand. Duke Hospitals are changing its visitor policies starting today because of the rise in cases. More local news on Fox 50 just ahead.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
It's a frosty start on the Pinehurst golf course this morning, but that sunshine is going to warm us up nicely. We do have some rain in the forecast for tonight, though. I'll show you the timeline for that.
And we're here inside the Martin Marietta Center for Performing Arts, where hundreds of professionals and community members are here for the Raleigh Chamber's Launch 2024 event, getting insight into what's in store for the new year.
Plus, an exclusive look at the most highly anticipated movies on the way for 2024. It's 8:30 as we bring you inside our WRAL studios, frost-free in here right now. I'm Jeff Hogan.
I'm Ken Smith. Let's get over to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. And we might have to hold off on hitting the links.
Yeah, can't get out on that grass. Elizabeth knows.
Yeah, right. You can still see it. Look how it looks a little bit gray there this morning. That's the frost. But that sunshine will work on that pretty quickly. And it really won't be a bad afternoon for golf as soon as the frost melts. But it is 29 degrees right now in the Triangle. And around Pinehurst this morning, the temperatures were in the low to mid 20s. Right now, it's 26 degrees there in Southern Pines. It's 29 in Clinton and Goldsboro, 28 in Rocky Mount, 23 in Roxboro. So it's been cold everywhere this morning. Hour by hour, we're in the mid 50s for a high this afternoon. We'll see sunshine up through lunchtime, and then we see increasing clouds, and we're going to be seeing some showers overnight tonight. That rain will start to develop around 9 or 10 o'clock, especially from the Triangle area south and east. We take a look at Futurecast. You can see gray skies by 5 o'clock, and by 10 o'clock, some showers from Raleigh southward and eastward. It does pick up a little bit around midnight, early morning, especially from Rocky Mount, Goldsboro to Clinton, and then it moves on out. It'll be out of here by the bulk of our morning commute. We'll even start to see some sunshine around, say, 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. So a lot of folks may end up sleeping through that. What we probably won't sleep through is this big system on Saturday. It's going to be an all-day rain, but may begin early as some light freezing rain in our northwestern counties. We'll pause it right there at 7 a.m. You can see up around Person County, it's pink. We're looking at the potential for some light freezing rain. No impacts, no travel problems, no power outages. It is going to be a wet, chilly day on Saturday with another system to follow on Tuesday. I'll walk you through both of those coming up, Brian.
Elizabeth, it is 8:32 right now. I want to update you on this crash on the north side of Raleigh that we've been following for a while on 540 westbound at Six Forks Road. They have almost cleared this scene. They have a tow truck out there in the median trying to get all of this cleared up. Right now, still tracking a backup of about 10 minutes as you head from Lewisburg Road out to the I-40 interchange. If you can pick up 540 westbound from Six Forks Road, you'll be on the other side of all of that. Not too far from there, we're also watching a crash with injuries at Honeycutt Road around Durant Road. We are seeing some delays as you head through that intersection, but they are making some progress getting that one cleared. Up in Durham, a crash on the southbound side of I-85 at Red Mill Road. We were dealing with a crash on the northbound side a little while ago. Now we've got the southbound side. All of this in the median, so we're seeing that left lane reduce their people having to squeeze around that crash. So coming in from Butner this morning, you're going to run into a little bit of a backup. Some good news in downtown Durham. That earlier crash on 147 northbound just before Alston Avenue has largely cleared. Still seeing a little bit of a lingering delay coming in from 885. In Chapel Hill, look out for a crash blocking the left lane of 40 westbound right around Highway 86, with delays beginning around the Irwin Road Bridge and extending all the way out to 86. If you can pick up 40 westbound from 86, you'll be in good shape heading out toward Hillsboro this morning. A quick check of our major approaches into Raleigh right now. We're not seeing any big delays coming in from Knightdale. A 6-minute backup on southbound Capitol Boulevard from Wake Forest, but I-40 is looking good through Garner right now with no trouble from 42 up to the Beltline split.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, we are following some breaking news out of Iran this morning. At least 73 people are dead and more than 170 others are hurt after an explosion near the burial site of the slain military commander Qasem Soleimani. Officials are calling this a terrorist attack. The explosions happened about half a mile from Soleimani's grave. That is a ceremony that was being held to mark the 2020 assassination of the commander. You might remember that Soleimani was killed by a U.S. airstrike ordered by former President Donald Trump at Baghdad International Airport. That happened 4 years ago today. People were at his gravesite remembering him and paying their respects. But again, this morning we are learning that two explosions near that gravesite have killed at least 73 people. The death toll could rise.
Well, back at home today, we'll get a better idea of the amount of people hospitalized with respiratory illnesses in North Carolina.
Now, hospitals in the area have already reevaluated their visitor policies due to that uptick in cases. WRL's Kelsey Coffey explains what we're expecting to learn today.
As those hospitalizations are going up, hospital officials are taking action. Starting today, new visitor restrictions will be in place for all Duke hospitals across the Triangle. The state will release new COVID, flu, and RSV data in a few hours. Duke Health saw a 112% increase in flu cases across its hospitals. That's just in the past 2 weeks. COVID cases also rose by 8% with 41 patients. In the past week, UNC hospitals saw a 73% increase in COVID cases. RSV cases also went up by 50%. And of course, students are headed back to school this week. Here's Duke Health Infectious Disease Specialist Dr. Cameron Wolf's advice for parents.
Kids are not very good necessarily at telling us, especially elementary school or primary school age kids, about their symptoms. So be prepared to be observant about how your son and daughter is symptomatically feeling.
And Dr. Wolf says if your child is displaying any cold or flu-like symptoms, it's best to keep them at home instead of sending them off to school. Kelsey Coppe, WRL News in Raleigh.
Also happening today, the Duke Hospital System is changing its visitor policies. Visitors must be 12 years or older. Patients are limited to 2 visitors. Overnight visitors must be at least 18 years old. And visitors are urged to mask up and stay home if they're experiencing symptoms. This is all part of a plan to protect patients against respiratory illnesses.
Today, an officer who was shot and killed while trying to stop a robbery at a Sheetz in Greensboro will be escorted from Raleigh to Greensboro. Law enforcement and first responders from all over our state will gather to escort Sergeant Philip Nix home starting this afternoon around 1 o'clock. Governor Cooper ordering all flags lowered to half staff until sunset today in honor of Sergeant Nix. Nix was shot and killed after he confronted 3 people trying to steal beer from a Sheetz. He was a well-respected member of the Greensboro Police Department for 23 years, serving in many leadership roles. Well, those 3 suspects charged in this case appeared in court for the first time yesterday. Jameer Foster, Zaquaria Blackwell, and John Morrison all faced a judge. Foster is charged with first-degree murder. All 3 suspects are due back in court in April.
A Cary family is preparing for a funeral after 6-year-old Jocelyn Hernandez was hit by a car and killed. Jocelyn was playing outside her home Friday when police say she was hit in the street by Andrew Everett, who was speeding and driving recklessly. A police report says Everett showed a lack of remorse and used derogatory language toward the little girl. WRL spoke with Hernandez's father, who says his daughter brought joy to many. The family's currently accepting donations to help with burial costs through this GoFundMe page.
Well, today, local businesses and community members will get together to find a better idea of what to expect out of Raleigh's economy this year. We're talking about the Launch 2024 event hosted by the Raleigh Chamber of Commerce. Let's get right to WRL's Laura Levine joining us live from inside the Martin Marietta Center for the Performing Arts. The event's already on the way, Laura.
It is, Ken. You know, in my last live report, you may have seen the crowds of people behind me here in the lobby. They have since moved inside the theater. So apologize if you hear those folks speaking over the speakers right now. That's because the event is underway. Hundreds of people, more than 300 professionals and community members are here to learn more about the economic fate of 2024 and how it could impact the Raleigh-Durham area. Now, we did get a chance to speak with one of the economists ahead of the event who's speaking at this event. She's with Wells Fargo, and she shared that we are likely to see growth weakened nationally relative to what we saw in 2023. That's in part coming from the fact that we still have a restrictive stance of policy from the Federal Reserve and propelled consumer spending. With those elevated interest rates, experts believe that this could likely restrain demand for business investment, both in terms of capital goods, but also consumer demand to borrow. So what all of this means is that if consumers aren't spending as robustly as they were in 2023, we are likely to see businesses get a little more cautious on hiring. The Triangle, however, continues to see major growth, which is a good sign for the future.
That continues to make the Raleigh-Durham area a very attractive place for businesses to invest and grow. And so while we're talking about a slowdown nationally and even a potential recession nationally, I think we're likely to continue to see the Raleigh-Durham area outperform the U.S.
And these experts also plan to discuss impacts on the housing market and where we could see a continued decline in the multifamily sector, but a tremendous boom in apartment growth nationally and locally. And if you are tuning into WRL News right now and you want to watch this event, we are live streaming it on WRL.com. Laura Levine, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
Well, happening today, some people from the Mebane community are speaking up about their opposition to building a Buc-ee's convenience store in Mebane. At noon, community members are delivering a petition to the city hall. They will also hold a press conference urging Mebane Mayor Hooks and city council members to vote against the proposal. At the last council meeting, the Mebane Planning Board voted against rezoning 32 acres off I-40 for the Buc-ee's project. The city would need to approve a rezoning request and a special use permit before construction could begin.
20 minutes before 9 on your Wednesday, we have a recall alert to tell you about. We'll explain the issue with some Kia vehicles that could potentially lead to the car catching on fire.
Hey,
8:44, the time right now. You see that sun shining through the clouds anyways. Take a look downtown, off into the distance. Just a beautiful scene right there. Lots of areas are going to get some sunshine today. And the coldest part of the day when that sun first hits and that frost forms, we see it right behind you there.
Yeah, you can see it here at Pinehurst. And you can see there's nobody out here on the putting green because you can see the gray areas that show up there on the camera. That's where it's still frosty, but it is melting. So that frost is moving on out. It's still 29 in the Triangle area. And it dropped down into the mid-20s this morning down around Pinehurst and in the Southern Pines area. Right now, it is still 26 in Southern Pines, and it feels like 22. So that sunshine looks pretty. There's a lot of blue sky out there, but it is still cold. It's 32 now in Clinton, 31 Goldsboro, 28 in Rocky Mount, still 25 in Roxboro, but not much of a wind chill in most places. Our temperatures are running anywhere from 3 to about 8 degrees colder than this time yesterday, but the afternoon will feel just fine with some sunshine, 54 in Raleigh, 53 in Durham, and 55 in Fayetteville. We will see increasing clouds the later the day goes, and we have some showers in the forecast for tonight. Don't let that surprise you. It's going to be such a beautiful sunny day today. But if rain will impact you in some way, expect to see some light showers from the Triangle area south by around 9 or 10 o'clock tonight. It'll pick up in intensity a little bit between Rocky Mount, Goldsboro, Fayetteville, and Clinton once we get past midnight, but it zips on out of here quickly. This is going to be a low that's moving up the coast and out of here fast. So it is not likely to be wet for the morning commute. I mean, the streets could be a little wet, but it's not going to be raining for the morning commute. We'll see skies clearing quickly. We'll dry fast. And we're looking at temperatures above freezing. Now, it'll be chilly in the upper 30s, but nothing frozen for us tomorrow morning. 32 is our normal low. We'll see a low of 37. 20s again Friday and Saturday morning. And Saturday morning is going to be the tricky one. We take a peek at the weekend. Tomorrow looks great. Friday looks fine. We're going to see increasing clouds. And then overnight, Friday night into early Saturday morning, precipitation begins. And it's all about the timing. If the rain gets here while our temperatures are still in the 20s, then we might see some light freezing rain. It does not look like it's going to be snow, but there could be just a little bit of freezing rain that happens for us. So mainly in our northwestern counties. So we're talking about maybe northern Durham County. Anything that's north of I-85 could see a little bit of a light glaze. Not enough for power outages, not enough for travel impacts. But we will see a cold rain across the entire area on Saturday. It's going to be a chilly day. 50 degrees with showers. We could see up to an inch, maybe a little bit more in some places. Sunday is dry if you have outdoor plans. And then Tuesday, we're looking at another round of rain. And with Saturday and Tuesday's rain together, we could end up with some flooding on Tuesday. We could see up to 2+ inches on Tuesday. We'll continue to watch that. Right now, that doesn't look like anything frozen for us, but we've got our eye on it.
Elizabeth, thanks. A senior Hamas leader killed in a military strike in Lebanon's capital city, Beirut. Israeli officials telling NBC News it has not taken responsibility for that attack. Two other leaders from Hamas's military wing were also killed, according to Hamas officials. This comes ahead of a visit to the region by U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken next week. There's a recall of nearly 80,000 Kia vehicles because they could catch fire while in use. This involves the 2011 Sorento. Kia says a fire could start in the engine compartment for many different reasons. Kia dealers will do an inspection of these SUVs and replace the engine if needed. They'll also install something called a NOx sensor detection system, which will extend the Sorento's warranty coverage for 15 years or 150,000 miles.
The national debt has hit a new record. It now sits at more than $34 trillion. It's because of a number of factors, including higher borrowing costs due to interest rates and lower tax receipts. President Biden blames GOP tax cuts on the deficit. Republicans say it's because he's spent too much money. This comes as federal spending laws are set to expire in the next few weeks. If Congress fails to pass extensions, the government could shut down. Starting today, a section of a Raleigh Greenway Trail will be closed for more than 2 weeks. That closure is right along the Noose River Trail, I should say. Part of a sewer pipe in that area is being repaired. It'll be closed until January 19th. A new version of the federal student aid application has some key changes for the upcoming school year. The new FAFSA is only available to students on a limited basis for now. Those looking to apply will have to wait and check the studentaid.gov site to see the times it's open throughout the day. While you wait, you can create a federal student aid ID. It can take up to 3 days to get approved before you can start the FAFSA application. This year's FAFSA will be available in 11 languages and also has fewer questions than previous years.
Well, the recent holiday means that some kids might have new phones and iPads. Let's get to WREL Lifestyle Editor Kathy Hanrahan, and she's here with some advice for dealing with group chats. So let's start there. Why are group chats so stressful?
I get stressed out by group chats. I don't know if you do too. Okay.
Absolutely.
So right now on WREL.com's family section, we have a story from Laura Tierney, the founder of the Social Institute. She says that group chats can become very overwhelming. It can bring up a lot of emotions and comments all in one place. She has some great tips to help you and your child navigate those chats. Okay, so first of all, and we should all do this, think before you type. Don't spam the chat with a whole bunch of emojis. Think about what you're going to say and how it might be taken. Next, remember, screenshots will live forever. You might think you're only talking to one or two people, but they can screenshot that and share it with many, many others.
So you mentioned emojis. What about using emojis and GIFs for that matter?
Okay, so Laura suggests adding those to lighten things up when things are getting a little tense. And if things are too tense, take a break from the chat. Come back when things cool down. She also suggested using video or phone calls to deal with important or sensitive topics. Don't use text because those words could be misinterpreted.
So let's bring parents into this. What can they do to monitor their children's devices?
I've got a tween, so I can tell you there's a lot of programs you can use to monitor your child's devices. Okay, Bark is one of them. They're an app that monitors social media. It even monitors text messages and will alert you of any bullying, explicit language, violent content, and even potential mental health concerns. Canopy is another one that allows you to turn off the internet access and turn it back on. And also, you can block individual apps and content.
You've got a few years before Frankie and the twins are, you know, reaching that tween stage, but I'm sure I'm going to have a lot to deal with. For more tips, go to WL.com and search keyword family. Hey, Kathy, thanks.
New Year brings a lot of new movies to the big screen, including many new installments of popular franchises. Ashley Dvorkin gives us a look at some of the most highly anticipated films of 2024.
New year, new movies. Eric Davis of Fandango. I'm so excited to talk to you about this top 10 most highly anticipated movies coming up. You surveyed 8,000 moviegoers, and I will say I agree with their top two. Those are my top two. So tell me what you know about Deadpool 3 and Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice 2.
Deadpool 3 leads the list. This is Marvel Studios' first R-rated movie. This reunites, or actually pairs for the first time, Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Beetlejuice 2 is the number two spot. 1988 was what the year the first Beetlejuice came out. Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder are back, and Jenna Ortega. Tim Burton returns for Beetlejuice 2.
Fans are calling Ghostbusters Frozen Empire for number three.
It's reuniting the cast of Ghostbusters Afterlife and the original Ghostbusters.
When you see sand here, imagine water.
Number four, probably the year's first blockbuster, Dune Part Two. At number five, Venom Part Three.
The animated fun of Despicable Me 4 is number six.
Number seven is Inside Out 2, which is one of like the highest performing trailers of all time for Disney.
Action-packed choices round out the top 10.
Number eight is a Lord of the Rings film, but one thing to know about that is that it is an animated film. Ridley Scott is back with a Gladiator sequel, Gladiator 2. Number 10, A Quiet Place Day One. This is a spinoff starring Lupita Nyong'o, and it's telling another story of that day one, the day the monsters arrive.
In Hollywood, Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Gladiator 2. Well, the movie industry, speaking of which, has 9 billion reasons to be very happy. That's how many dollars last year's domestic box office earned. Analysts say 2023's total is the highest movie sales reached since the pandemic. Among the big hits of theaters last year, Barbie, of course, Oppenheimer, which collected $636 million and $626 million, respectively. Other successful movies included Wonka, the Super Mario Brothers movie, and Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour.
All right, we're headed off the break. Here are the winning lottery numbers for you. When we come back, we'll also get another check on weather and traffic. That's next.